Let us now bow before the Lord in prayer. We come to you this afternoon, O great God and faithful Father, to praise your holy name. For your name proclaims your great faithfulness. And your faithfulness, O Lord, has brought us here today to worship you. Lord, we thank you that you have kept us in your care this past year. It was a year of great challenges for some, of sickness and health struggles for others. And it was a year of progress and abundance for yet still more. And we come before you as your church, each of us with our own concerns, our own sorrows, and our own joys. Lord, we confess that you know our hearts. You know the state of our lives. You know it all. We thank you that we can confess that you are our great God who carries each one of us in your hand. Lord, as we worship you this afternoon, it is only through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we come before you. We come before you based on his great sacrifice. We come before you in his perfect righteousness. We thank you that we can know that in Christ Jesus we are accepted before your throne. And because of your great love and your great faithfulness, we want to begin this year praising you. You have created us to bring you glory. And we do so gladly, we do so willingly for all that you have done for us. It is a joy to praise your holy name. There is nothing better than to worship you. And Father, we also want to begin this year by listening to your word. For your word is a light to our feet. Your word guides us every day, and it gives us life through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we confess that it is only through the grace of the Holy Spirit that we can confess this, that we say this. And we ask, Father, that you will also be with each and every one of us this afternoon, that you will continue to work in us by your Holy Spirit. May we begin this year strengthened in the faith. May we be encouraged in our walk with you. And we ask that we might learn to trust in you all the more. Father, will you grant us your grace? We pray this only in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading this afternoon is from Psalm 138. Psalm 138, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. Thus far, the reading of God's word. The text for this afternoon's sermon are the last two verses of Psalm 138. I will read those once more. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. Beloved congregation of Christ, another year has gone by. 2016 has officially come to a close. And as we look back on the year that has gone by, we can see that it was definitely an eventful year on the world stage. A lot of important events took place. Here are a few examples. In June, Great Britain voted to leave the European Union. Our own country, Canada, legalized assisted suicide. This past summer, the Olympic Summer Games were held in Brazil. This past November, the United States elected Donald Trump as their president. And throughout the year, terrorist attacks occurred in places like France, Germany, and Belgium, and throughout the world. And also, the devastation continued in the country of Syria caused by the ongoing civil war. And as one can see, looking back on the year gone by, there's been a lot of trouble in the world. 2016, it highlighted that for many of us. An article appeared on cbc.ca this past week with this title: Goodbye and Good Riddance to a Ghastly Year. And in the opening paragraph of that article, the author, Terry Malewski, states, "Was it really that bad? No, it was worse." And Malewski then describes how 2016 was, in his opinion, one of the worst years in recent memory. Now, as we look ahead to the new year, 2017, we might wonder what the future holds. What will be the top news stories? What big events will happen in the world and in our own lives? Will things go better in the world in 2017 than they did in 2016? Now, for some people, as they look ahead, there's absolutely no reason for optimism. As a matter of fact, a day after Terry Malewski's opinion piece, another opinion piece appeared on cbc.ca with this title: "Think 2016 was bad? Well, 2017 will be worse. Four reasons to despair about the new year." Now, that's a very depressing article. Doesn't leave much hope. But should we, as children of God, should we adopt that same attitude of despair? Now, in one sense, we cannot stick our heads in the sand about the trouble that there is in the world and in our own lives. There is trouble in the world, and we do face that every day. We face that in our own lives. Yet we can confess as God's children that there is more than just trouble in the world. There is also the steadfast love of the Lord. And that's something that David confesses in our text this afternoon. He says in our text, "Your mercy," or "your steadfast love, O Lord, it endures forever." What a confession this is. We see year after year on this earth that there is trouble here in this world. It continues on and on. But we also know and confess that God's mercy, God's steadfast love, is greater than the problems of this life. God's mercy, His steadfast love, it's longer lasting. And it's that steadfast love and mercy of the Lord that sustains His people, us His people, through another year. And that is the theme of the sermon this afternoon. And with that theme, we will also look at two points. First, God preserves us in all our trouble. And second, God fulfills for us all His purposes. Now, King David is the author of Psalm 138, and we don't know exactly when he wrote this psalm, but we can see from the psalm that it begins with thanksgiving, it moves towards praise to God, and then it ends with a confession of trust and dependence. And it's that confession of trust and dependence that we will be looking at this, what we'll be focusing on this afternoon. Now, King David begins our text in this way. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me, or you will preserve my life. Now, notice how David says here in this verse, how he says he walks in the midst of trouble. It's not as if as while he's living here on earth that trouble just comes his way once in a while and touches his life here and there. No, troubles are a way of life for him. You see, in Scripture, somebody's walk is a characterization of their life. For example, when Scripture says that someone walks in the ways of the Lord, it means that their lives are characterized by obedient living. Obedience describes their way of life. So when David says he walks in the midst of trouble, he's saying that trouble is a way of life for him. Seems that no matter how much time passes, no matter how far he goes, he just seems to see trouble again and again, more trouble after more trouble. And maybe you also have faced that this past year. This is a world suffering under the effects of sin. So we can be sure that trouble will come our way from time to time. Yet at times we might go through years where trouble seems to be the dominating theme. Perhaps this year was one of those years for you. Perhaps that's how it's been not only this past year, but for as long as you can remember. As God's children, we might walk in the midst of troubles as David did so long ago. Well, think for a moment of all the trouble that King David faced in his life. You know, when we look at King David, when we read stories about him in Scripture, we might be tempted to romanticize King David's life. After all, he had some really glorious moments in his life. He defeated Goliath in battle through the power of the Lord. He led God's people in righteousness. He created many beautiful psalms to God. It also, when we look at King David's life in Scripture, we see that there is much trouble in his life. Here are some examples. His own father-in-law and the king of the land tried to kill him on numerous occasions. For years, he lived as a fugitive without a permanent home. Enemies constantly attacked him for much of his life. Someone he loved so dearly, he lost suddenly and tragically to death. His own wife despised him in her heart for serving the Lord with zeal. David himself fell into deep, deep sin. One of his children died soon after it was born. One of David's sons violated his daughter. King David had a child who turned his back on the Lord, did not want to serve the Lord anymore. And that same child was then killed ruthlessly in battle. Then also near the end of his life, one of David's sins caused much suffering and harm for those around him. See, these are all troubles that David experienced in his life. Maybe you have even experienced some of those things yourself, maybe in this past year, and how difficult that can be. Yet even though David confessed that he walked through many troubles, yet we can also see him confess to God in this psalm, "You will revive me. You preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me." You see, on his own, David could never endure those hard things that he went through. There's no way he could have continued on. And some of the hardest moments came when he was chased by his enemies. And even then, he says that God's right hand delivered him. See, David could never have persevered in his own strength. God preserved him. God was stronger than all of his enemies. God was stronger than all of his trouble. You see, the presence of trouble in David's life did not mean that God's love was absent. Yes, there was trouble, but there was also God. And because of that, David could endure. And that's why we can endure as God's children as well. When we walk through trouble in this life, as we walk through trouble this past year, perhaps you have even had times where you just said to yourself, where would I be without my God? And indeed, where would we be? We could never endure the trouble of life without him. He's the one who preserves us. He's the one who revives us. See, when we went through trouble this past year, it did not mean that God's love was absent. No, far from it. When we go through trouble in our lives, it does not mean that God's love is gone. Not at all. No, the steadfast love of the Lord, his mercy does endure forever in Jesus Christ. You see, the reason why we're here today praising God, it's because of the mercy of the Lord. It's because of his steadfast love. God sends us trouble in life, but he also preserves our lives. He revives us. No trouble that you faced in this past year was too difficult for your God. He sustains us through it all. Now, David also then confesses at the beginning of verse 8, he says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me." Or as another translation puts it, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me." This also brings us to our second point. And here we see King David walking by faith and not by sight. You see, what might David's outward circumstances tell him? Well, his outward circumstances might tell him that God is working in his life all right, but God is only working to bring trouble. That's what it might seem at times. Yet David knows by faith in God's promises that even though he faces this trouble, God is using it to fulfill his purposes for him in his life. And what were those purposes? Well, here is one of the big ones. See, God had promised David that one day one of his descendants would sit on his throne forever. God had promised to send the Savior of the world through David's line, through David's children. And throughout all the trouble that David endured, God still worked out his plan of salvation in David's life. God did bring the Messiah into the world, Jesus Christ, through David. See, that was one of the main purposes God had for David's life. He perfected what concerned David. You see, Jesus Christ was David's own Savior. He paid for David's sins as well. And the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross to pay for David's sins is one reason why David can make this confession in faith. Jesus Christ was the reason why God's face could be turned towards David in blessing. And we must all remember that Jesus Christ is our great Savior as well. See, by his sacrifice, Jesus Christ has removed the wrath of God from us, and he has obtained for us the grace of God in our lives. And this is also why we can be confident that no matter how much trouble we might face in life, God will fulfill his purposes for us too. He will perfect that which concerns us. We too can walk by faith and not by sight. Perhaps you have had times this past year where you just wondered to yourself, you know, where is my life going? Does God really have a plan for me and for my life? Can what I have gone through this past year really be part of God's good purpose for me? And as you look forward to the new year, 2017, you might also think to yourself, looking into the new year, you know, I just feel lost. I feel like I have no rudder guiding my life. Does God really have a plan for me? Does God really have a purpose for my life? And to that question, we can answer with an emphatic yes. Because Jesus Christ has paid for our sins in full, we can be sure that God will perfect that which concerns for us. He will fulfill His purposes for us. We can entrust ourselves to Him even when we do not see where our lives are going. Now David then prays to God at the end of this psalm. He says, "Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands." Well, there are two things that give David confidence as he looks forward to the future. First, there is the mercy of God. There is the steadfast love of the Lord. The second thing is that he confesses that God is a God who finishes what he begins. Maybe this past year, you began some kind of project. Maybe you started working on a new craft. Maybe you began working on an art project. Maybe there was some kind of home improvement idea that you really wanted to try. And well, have you ever started on something like that and found that you just gave up halfway through or even right at the beginning? See, that's what we as humans do so often. We start some kind of project full of good intentions, full of energy and zeal, and we're ready to take on the world. But then what happens? Well, we hit difficulty reaching our goal. Things didn't go as smoothly as we envisioned. The work was harder than we thought it would be. Maybe that project we had in mind, we just figured out it cost too much money. Maybe we just got bored. So what do? We just give up. That piece of artwork we started gets thrown into the trash. The home improvement project we had in mind, it doesn't really get off the ground. We do not finish what we start. And we might be worried at times, perhaps also this past year, that God was just going to give up on us and abandon us. After all, we've stumbled into sin. We have so many weaknesses in ourselves. We're slow to learn God's ways. We experience so much trouble in life. Maybe at times we fear that God is a lot like us. And if God is like us, then we would have every reason to fear that God would abandon the work He started in us by His Holy Spirit. And yet we confess from Scripture confidently that God is not like us. He is faithful. His mercy is everlasting. His steadfast love endures forever. Because of God's covenant mercy, His steadfast love, He does not abandon the work of His hands. His Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. How thankful we can be for our God. Yes, God could have, and He should have abandoned us a long time ago. But why does He not abandon us? Well, it's because God abandoned His own Son for our sakes. He turned His face away from His Son, Jesus Christ, in judgment on the cross so that Christ might pay for our sins. And that's why God's face can be continually turned towards us in blessing. Because of Jesus Christ, God does not abandon His work within us. We can be confident in Jesus Christ that God will continue to work out His plan of salvation in us too. Well, this is something we also confess in the Canons of Dort about the perseverance of the saints. Take, for example, Article 3 of Chapter 5. There we confess, "Because of the remnants of indwelling sin and also because of the temptations of the world and of Satan, those who have been converted could not remain standing in the grace if left to their own strength. But God is faithful, who mercifully confirms them in the grace once conferred upon them, and powerfully preserves them in that grace to the end." See, what a beautiful confession we have. What a beautiful confession to live our lives by, to guide us also in the new year. See, God really does preserve His own. And to see a picture of perseverance, then look again at David's life. Yes, David experienced many troubles, but look also at this. See, God never abandoned David once during his life. Not once. Not for a moment. Not for 1 second. When we look at David's life, we see a pattern of God's deliverance. God delivered him from the mouths of lions and bears when he shepherded his father's sheep as a boy. God then delivered him from the hand of Goliath in hand-to-hand combat. David had to flee from Saul, but then the Lord delivered him from Saul's hands too. His own son Absalom turned and fought against him, but God again preserved David's life. That is the pattern in David's life. He faced much trouble, but God delivered him time and time again. And that is the trust that we can have in God through Jesus Christ. Yes, to be sure, David fell into grave spiritual danger when he fell into great sin with Bathsheba, killing her husband Uriah, and also committing adultery. Yet even then, God did not abandon his work in David's life. He did not cast him to the side. The canons of Dort also remind us that when the saints fall into serious sins, that God does not completely withdraw his Holy Spirit from them, even in their fall. He does not allow his children to fall away from the grace of adoption. He does not permit his own to commit the sin against the Holy Spirit. Rather, God renews his elect to repentance. And that's what the Lord did for David. He renewed him to repentance. It's truly through the grace of the triune God that we are preserved. Without his work in our lives, we would surely fall away. Now, as we see from the last words of our text, that David's last words in the psalm, they are also a petition to God. They are a statement of faith, but they are also at the same time a prayer. Father, do not abandon the work of your hands. See, David knows that he needs God's help at all times. We should keep this in mind. Think back for a moment on this past year, when you walked through trouble, how much did you make that a part of prayer? Well, this is not to heap guilt upon you for lack of prayer, but it's simply meant to be a check. See, it can be easy for us to get into a pattern that even though we face trouble in life, we still neglect prayer. And if you are having trouble praying, then do not give up, but ask God to help you in this as well. No, ask God to bless your prayer life, that you would grow increasingly faithful in prayer. And as we do, let us also continually pray to God as David does here. Pray this petition. Let us pray to the Father. Father, do not forsake the work of your hands in us. In all our troubles, preserve our lives and revive us. Do not forget your steadfast love and mercy in Jesus Christ. Deliver us from all our enemies. Fulfill all your purposes for us. Help us to trust your plan no matter what comes our way. Keep us faithful to you. When we fall into sin, renew us to repentance. Keep us in your grace. You see, prayer is so important for us to persevere in all the troubles of life. God gives us promises of persevering in faith, but that's not a reason to neglect prayer. No, it gives us all the more confidence to seek God in prayer that we might persevere. After all, we're praying on the basis of God's promises. And as we look ahead to 2017, I challenge you to make this one of your goals. To grow increasingly faithful in prayer. While we pray, let us also rely on God's promises to continue working in us, even at our weakest moments. His preserving grace for us who believe in Jesus Christ, it gives us confidence as we look ahead to the new year. See, in Christ, we can be confident that God will always be our faithful Father, also in 2017. Our Lord Jesus Christ told us that we can expect trouble in this world, also in the new year ahead. But in Christ Jesus, we can be sure that God will not abandon us. And so we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. He who began a good work in me will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Amen." Let us pray. Our Father who is in heaven, you are worthy of all praise and adoration. Great is your mercy. Great is your love. Great is your fatherly care towards us. We thank you that although we walk in the midst of troubles, you preserve our lives. You revive us. And Father, we ask ourselves sometimes, where would we be without you? We would have nothing. Lord, we would not be able to endure. And we ask, Lord God, that you will continue to preserve us. Lord, some of us walk through trouble every day. Some of us are burdened down far more than we can endure. We ask that you will remember us. Assure us of your steadfast love and act. Turn your face toward us in blessing. And we ask, faithful Father, that you will not abandon the work of your hands. Continue to work in us a persevering faith. Keep us in your grace in the new year ahead. Help us to always build our life on your promises. And will you sustain us always? And Lord, when we fall into sin, will you renew us to repentance? Father, we pray that you will keep us in your care. Will you hear our prayer only for Jesus' sake? Amen.